Good morning. It's nice to see all the beautiful faces today. Pastor Manon is gone this week, and Rich will be sharing the word with us today. And let's open the service in prayer this morning, asking God to come and to be with us, and may we expect to spend time with him today. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us, the opportunity to come and to worship together and to hear your word. Lord, may we come with an expecting heart, knowing that if we spend time with you, that our face would glow with your glory. Lord, just be with us today and bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll bet that really made points, all those beautiful faces. Number 77, the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus is so sweet, I love its music to me. It makes my joy full and complete. The precious name of Jesus, oh how sweet the name.
This solo business isn't working out well, and evidently I picked something you don't know. The last verse of number 77.
No word of man can ever tell how sweet the name I love so well. Oh, when its praise is ever swell, oh, praise the name.
So old that it'd be a new song for everybody around here, and it was. And we shall see the King.
There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. Thank you.
There's power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? Number 74. You can remain standing. Those of you who feel that you'd like to sit down, just do that. We'll stand and sing several of these choruses, but if that's a problem, you just sit as you care to. Sink in as you sing them. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen.
Yeah.
Nancy and Tracy are going to sing.
We were trying to remember this morning when was the last time we sang together. And I can't remember a time since they were married, which is like almost 8 years. And so this morning I called her and said they were coming to our church. So I said, could we sing? So we ran through it twice this morning. So bear with us. But it's fun to have her here and do this again anyway.
Some say he's just history, and some named him teacher, but few ever realized his true identity.
Eat.
as well make plans. 5:39, when we all get to heaven. Stand with me for one more time, would you?
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus.
Rejoicing that will be when we all get to heaven. Praise the Lord. Well, I'd just like to say a good morning to every one of you today, and we're just delighted to have you with us here today. I see a lot of faces that I don't recognize, so if you're visiting with us, we just like to have you just join in and worship the Lord with us, and I want you to know that I've been praying for you this week. I've been praying for you. I just pray that God would speak to your hearts today. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Richard Lacey, and I drive a truck for Walmart, and our pastor is gone, and he has asked me to share the word of God with you, and I always consider it a privilege and a joy to share God's word, and I certainly never take it lightly. So I certainly have been praying for you this week that God would speak to you through his word. A little bit about me. I and my wife, Nancy, we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior back in the 70s. We come out of the hippie rebellious generation, went very deep into drugs and alcohol, but God saved us in about 1975. And we have been on a journey with him ever since. Our lives were totally changed. They were transformed, and we've never been the same. And you know what? We're still on that. We're still on that journey with Jesus Christ, and we're going to stay that way, and we are going to see Jesus, and we're going to sing, and we're going to rejoice. And I pray that in your life today, that during this service today, that you could get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, my prayer is that you will accept him today as your personal Savior and Lord. And if you're at a crossroads in your life, I pray today would be a decision making for you. That God has a plan for your life. Did you know that? Did you know God didn't just save you and to bring you into a church to stay here and to be occupied? To occupy a pew. He didn't save you for that. He has a plan for your life. He has a divine plan for your life, and it's the greatest plan that ever could be unfolded in your life. He didn't come to save you to deprive you of things. This has nothing to do with my message. I don't know. I'm just talking. But he didn't come to deprive you of anything. He has blessed things for your life. He has more than you'll ever know. I remember as a young man when I and Nancy come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And you know, we were in the world and we thought we gleaned the pleasures of the Lord, of the world. And I never dreamed what God had for us. But when we gave it to Him, we came down an aisle one day and we just simply prayed a little prayer. God, would you come into my life? Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you take this garbage out of my life? Would you fill me with your love? And would you come in and you change my life? And did He ever change our lives? Never the same. Today could be your day. Did you know that? You know, God doesn't make mistakes. Did you know we serve a God who never makes a mistake? Isn't that incredible? Could you trust your life with a God who never makes a mistake? He has a plan for your life. And I know that today in this age in which we live, there are many people who wonder what's going on in their lives. You look at our world today and you see the ungodliness and everything that's going on. And you really think, God, do you have a plan for me? Where do I fit in? Believe me, you fit in there. And He has nothing but good for you. Can you believe that with me today? Can you believe that? You just put your trust and your faith in Him. Just like I was the most least likely candidate to ever come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That was me. If you would have told people that I would ask Jesus Christ into my life and to one day stand up and preach the gospel, they would have laughed. They said, not him. Do you know people like that? Did you know the gospel is still going forth? Did you know people are still responding to the gospel? Did you know He's still changing lives today? Do you know He's still the only answer? It's still taking place. So in our lives today, sometimes we feel like nothing's happening. But God has a plan. Today could be your day. He just didn't save you just to come in. He has a plan for you. That's for someone today. I want you to know that. And I felt the same way you did. We've been gone quite a few Sundays this summer. We've been down in Iowa. We had family reunions. We had attended weddings, many things. We've been on vacation. But one of the things I want to share with you is that we attended a wedding down in Iowa. And I had a friend there that I hadn't seen for quite some time. He's an older gentleman. But I noticed something about him when we were at the wedding reception. I noticed that he was by himself. And I hardly ever see the guy. I don't ever remember seeing the guy without his wife. And I had mentioned to Nancy who he was, and I said, I don't see his wife. So later on, I caught up with him out in the hall, and I began to talk with him, and I hadn't seen him for quite a while. He says, you know, this past year, I lost my wife to an illness. And a man is a godly man. I always look up to him. He has such a gentle spirit. And then he shared something with me that set me back a little bit. He says, you know, it's been one of the toughest years of my life. He says, you know, the enemy has come on me and tried to get me down. And he said, it has been tough. He said, it's a tough thing to do to lose your mate. And I could just feel and sense the hurt in his voice. But he says, I want you to know that through it all, that God is faithful. That during this time when the enemy would come when I was down and he would come on me, he says, it just drove me deep into God's word. And he had been reading and meditating and he began to share scriptures with me and began to flaunt them. He said, and one was from the Psalms, he says, you know, the Psalms, the things that keeps me going, it says, God says, in his presence is the fullness of joy. He said, you know, I've had a lot of joy on this earth. I and my wife, we've had joyous times. He says, and I look at that. But he said, in his presence is the fullness of joy. So I know where his heart and where his mind was. Is that day when he gets to heaven, when he's reunited with his wife, and he's going to experience the fullness of the joy of God. So you see, he had come at a crossroads in his life. He had to make a turn. And during this difficulty in his life, he turned to God and to his word. And it just blessed my heart because, you see, I'm at the age now where I start thinking about when I'm getting older. You know what I'm saying? When we get there around that big 5-0, we start weighing things out. You know, what's it going to be like in the end? There's always an encouragement when an older saint, when they go through these things and they tell me about God's faithfulness. But he had to make that decision. Last Monday, I was getting ready to go to work, and I just walked out of the house, and the phone rang. And there was another friend of mine that called, and he wanted to know if I remembered a man who we used to work with years ago. And I said, yeah, I did. He said, well, he died Thursday. He was 49 years old. He had lost his wife also. It was believed to be that when he lost his wife through a divorce, that he went out into the garage and shut the doors and started the car up, and that's where they found him. You see, it was a crossroads in this man's life. And we have to make those decisions. And I trust today that when we come to these crossroads in our lives, that we make the right decisions, that we turn to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want to share with you, I'm getting around to my scriptures. I'd like to share with you from John chapter 6, at verses 66 through 68. And many of you will recognize this scripture is when Jesus turned to his disciples. At that time, he challenged them with a commitment. Many people were following Jesus, and the scripture says that many disciples fell away. But in 66 through 68, it says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And Jesus, looking at his 12, he turned to them and he says, "You do not want to leave also, do you?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One from God." And then I want to share from Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. Speaking of John the Baptist. And when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "You go back and report to John what you have heard and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today for your word. And Lord, we thank you that your word is true. And Father, we ask this morning that you would do what no man could do. Would you take your words, you make them spirit, truth, and life. And would you penetrate our hearts? Thank you, Father, for those that are here. We thank you that through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you would speak to our hearts today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist came to a crossroads in his life, and he had to make a decision. Did you know that there are many crossroads in our lives? As we serve the Lord. In our journey, we come to crossroads. And we want to make those right decisions. And we want to follow Jesus. You know, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, he reached out his hand to me and he says, "If you will follow me, I will lead you in the paths that you should go." And I believe that with all of my heart. And believe me, I know what it's like to get on the wrong path. Not so long ago, in fact, last week, I was traveling down a four-lane highway, and all of a sudden I saw all kinds of lights, and there was an accident, and the road was closed. And that lane was blocked off, and there was a road that went off to the left. There was a state trooper there. There was all kinds of traffic. He just told me to go that way. I didn't know where I was going. All I knew is the road was blocked. I couldn't go through. So I turned left. And the first road I came to, I turned right. See, you know, logic thinking. You know, I was going this way. I thought, well, if I go over here, do this, I got to get back on this road. And just as I turned right, it was a real narrow road, and those trucks are pretty long, you know, 70 feet long, and it was really a narrow road. I had to take every inch I could get to make the turn, and after I made the turn, I heard a voice say on the radio, it says, "Walmart, do you know where you're going?" I said, "No, I sure don't." But I said, "I just figured I'd take the first road here, and I'm going to go down here and take the first road," and hope that he says, "Well, I sure hope you know where you're going, because we're following you." And it worked out that time. Sure enough, I did. I come out below the accident, got on. But there's been times when that hasn't happened. So I believe that when God brings us to these decisions in our lives, that we need to make the right decision. Now I want to look at John the Baptist, of how he come to a crossroads in his life where he had to make a decision. Now John the Baptist is kind of my kind of guy. You know, John the Baptist was quite a guy. You know, I remember back when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, and she went to visit her Aunt Elizabeth, and she went to see Aunt Elizabeth, and Aunt Elizabeth was she was pregnant with John the Baptist. And the Bible tells us that when Mary and Elizabeth were talking, that John leaped in her womb, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when John was born, he was born with a specific plan and a specific purpose for his life. Would you agree with that? Did you know that you're born with a specific plan and a specific person, purpose in life? And John the Baptist, he was a forerunner. And he came on the scene. If you could imagine this, he came on the scene, and he was a weird dude, you know. He came dressed up in camel's hair, big old leather belt, and he just kind of hung out there in the desert, and he ate honey and locusts. And people would come out to see him, and John had a message. He says, you know, make straight way. Make way the path of the Lord. There is one who is coming after me. There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Repent and be baptized and make straight the way of the Lord. That was his message. And people begin to hear about this, and people would come out, and they would respond, because I believe John was anointed by the Holy Spirit. People would repent of their sins, and they were baptized in the water, and people come, and they would come looking, and one day the religious leaders come. They wanted to come out and check this dude out. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came, and they said, and you know what John told them? Can you imagine? This just blows me away when I think of it. He looks over at him, and he looks at him, and he says, oh, look, here comes the religious leaders. I think I'll have a little dialogue with them and see what's up. The very moment he saw him, he looked at him, and he called him a brood of vipers. Can you imagine? Here they were, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the religious leaders of their days, and they had dictated the law of God. They believed not only in the Old Testament law, but they also believed that it was to their own interpretation of how it should be fulfilled and how it should be lived by. There was a change coming. And he looked at them, and he called them a brood of vipers. You see, John had a choice to make. Was it going to be... was he going to seek the popularity of these religious leaders, or was he going to tell them God's truth? And then one day, Herod came by. Remember King Herod come by? And one day, he was out for a stroll, taking his lovely bride for a ride. And he said, you know, let's go out here and check out this John the Baptist guy. I've heard a lot about this dude. Just like to see him. And John the Baptist was there, and here was King Herod. And John the Baptist looked at him and says, hey, King Herod, you need to repent and be baptized. Sitting up there with that stolen woman. Repent of your sins and be baptized. And you know what? It cost John his life. Herod had him put into prison. And those women, they don't forget nothing, do they? Remember when it all came around that Herodias, his wife, ended up getting John the Baptist's head on a plate. But those decisions, they cost John his life. But I want to tell you something. John made the right decision. Because he stood against sin. He stood for what was right. And he stood on God's side. And regardless of what it cost him. And you know what? I'd like to challenge every preacher in America today to evaluate what they preach. Because one day, God is going to evaluate their ministry. He's going to evaluate their life. He's going to evaluate their standard. And he's going to evaluate of how they stood against sin. You think of all of Israel that ignored the sin of King Herod, but not John the Baptist. He stood firm because there was a choice that he had to make. And I believe it's that way in our lives today. The world we're living in, there's a choice that we have to make. Are we going to go with the flow of the Lord? Are we going to go with the world? Are we going to stand for righteousness? Because I believe today that it seems like our world, wickedness is increasing, ungodliness all around us. But there's a choice we make. Stand with the Lord. The disciples. One day when Jesus turned to those who were following him, and he made a pretty stiff demand on them. He says, you know, if you're going to follow me, you must eat of my body, you must drink of my blood, you must make a commitment to follow me. And the Bible says that many turned away at that time to that wide road, if you will, that leads to destruction. You know, there is a wide road and there is a narrow road. In a spiritual sense, we are on that narrow road. Now, sometimes it's easier to take the wide road. There is less resistance. There is less friction, and sometimes it'll keep us out of trouble. But that's not what God has called us to do. John the Baptist said that there's one who is coming after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to even unlatch. But he is the Savior of the world. He is the Lamb of God. And Jesus made it very plain to them that he was the truth, he was the life, and he was the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when he asked his disciples, when he turned to his 12, and he says, are you also going to betray me? Are you also going to leave? And as the apostle Peter, he says, Lord, to whom would we go? Where could we go? Because you have the words to eternal life. What they were saying is, we have given everything up. We've given everything to follow you. And the decision that we have made, we have believed in you. We believe you are who you say you are. And I want to ask you today, have you come to that conclusion in your life? Do you believe Jesus is who he says he was? Because there's a lot of stuff that's going on in our world today. I have never seen such a moral decay in the last 5 to 10 years in all the history of my life. I heard a story about from Chuck Colson this last week about a college professor. And one of the things he would do at the beginning of every year, he would hold up a Bible and he would ask his students if they believed that this was the Word of God. And if there would be one that would be bold enough to say, yes, I do, he would take that and he would throw it out the window and he would challenge their lives. He would challenge their faith to try to destroy their faith. Sooner or later, when you make a commitment to Jesus Christ, you are going to come up on one of these crossroads. You're going to have to make a decision. And I hope that we can say like the disciples, you know, where could we go? We have put our faith in Christ. We believe that he is the answer. There is no other. You know what that means? There's no turning back. We're in for the long haul. John the Baptist, it cost him his life. You know, if I would have been God, I would not have let John the Baptist be beheaded. That's just the way I am. I mean, here was a man who stood up and he professed Jesus Christ. He was true to God's word. I would not have let that happen. I don't know why John the Baptist was beheaded. But I know that it was in God's plan. And I know that John the Baptist made the right decision. And I know that the Bible says that he who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You will never be disappointed, come what may. We don't know what is in store for America. We assume that everything is going to be easy for Christians to live. I don't believe that to be true. I see the way people are stepping things up, and we have to make a decision. And it could cost us many things. It could cost us our jobs, our careers. It could even cost us our lives. But I believe as Jesus looked at these men and he wanted to make sure that they knew what they were doing, that the commitment they made, you know, it's a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. We come to him and we commit our lives to him. You see, I have an advantage on you. You see, I was crazy when I was a teenager. I was crazy. I did some very foolish, stupid things. I said I didn't think I'd ever live to be 30 years old. Just never thought it would happen. And I didn't want to be old. I look at them old people who are 30, 40 years old. You know, they're ancient. You know what I mean? I was going to stay young forever. I was never going to get old. And one day God saved me. And guess what? Now I'm 54. I'm almost 54 years old. But I look at my life now and say, I'm living in bonus years. He gave me bonus years, and he gave me the blessing of God on my life. He's given me a lovely wife. He's given us 2 children. It's more than I could ever comprehend. But you know, I gave him my life a long time ago. But there are times in my life when I come to these crossroads, and I am so tempted to take it back again. I am so tempted to go my own way. And you know, that's an awesome thought, isn't it? But it's true. But then I begin to think like these disciples. I have placed my trust in Christ. To whom would I go? Where could we go? Listen, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, can I assure you today, can I encourage you? You've made the right decision. And you know, God is still building his church today. He's still calling men and women, boys and girls, throughout the world. And they're coming to this same decision. They're coming to the same crossroads. Are you going to follow Christ? Are you going to follow your own way? Are you going to go with the world? But you know that the decision is still the same. I will follow Christ. You know, so many times when we go through life, we wonder if our lives, if our churches, if our witnesses ever making a difference. Believe me, you responded to the gospel. There are those who are coming after us that are going to respond to the gospel. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and they shall be saved. God is still in the saving business. Did you know that? I'd like to share a story that my wife shared with me this past week of how she said she was so encouraged last week. Nancy works at Penny. She is a shoe salesman, and this lady came in and was looking at shoes. And it is such an encouragement in our lives. And as she was looking at shoes, you know, she says, just out of the clear blue, here was Nancy. She says, you know, I've changed my life. I am looking for a pair of shoes. So that may sound strange to you, but I usually don't look for women's shoes. So I usually wear men's boots. But you know, God saved me. He touched my life. I was a lesbian, and he touched my life, and I've changed my life. And I'm living for God. Can you imagine that? And you know, she went on to share. She said, you know, and what I found out? I found out that I wasn't born that way. And Nancy says, you know, you're an encouragement to me. It makes you want to jump up and down. God is still on the throne. He's still changing lives. He's still the answer. It's still right. Right is still right, and wrong is still wrong. And if I could encourage you, let's take a stand, shall we? Let's take a stand for what's right. We've made the right decision. We have the right answers. It still works. It's Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He is the answer to the world today. He's the answer in your life, and he's the answer for those who are out there who don't know him. You know what they're doing? They're longing and looking for that relationship that we have, that personal relationship with the Savior of the world. Nothing will fulfill that except that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe today as his ambassadors, we can point them to that right relationship. God didn't save you just to bring you out here and occupy a pew. You know, if that was all there was to it, we could set up a booth at the fair and we could get people saved and then we could take them out and shoot them. But that's not what God wants. He's placed us in this world as a witness and a testimony to his goodness and to his grace and his mercy. Would you bow your heads with me? Hallelujah. And maybe you're here with us today and you say, you know, I don't know Jesus. I've heard about him. I've been here. But I have never really accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. If you're here today and you've never, ever accepted Christ as your Savior and made that commitment, would you just slip your hand up so I can see it? Just slip it up and put it right back down. I just want to pray for you. If you've never really committed your life to Jesus Christ, maybe you've heard about him and you've been to church, you've been to Sunday school, but you've never really turned it over to him. Anyone? Maybe you've committed your life to Christ and you've come to a crossroads. And because of difficult things that have come, and you're having to make a decision, and you're wavering. Could I just pray for you? Would you lift your hand and just let me pray for you that you would make that right decision? Yes, I see that hand. Yes. That you want to go with God, that you want to stand with him, that you will place your trust and your faith in him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I see that hand. Yes. You want to give it all to him? Yes. Yes. And I believe that God will honor that. He will lead you in the paths that you shall go. It's a turning point in your life. your life will never be the same. Father, I thank you for your people today. And Father, I thank you for the honesty. I thank you, Father, that they made a commitment to you. And Father, we pray for those who have raised their hands. That Father, they are at a crossroads. It's a decision-making time. And you tell us in your word, Father, that when we come and we follow you, Lord, that all power in heaven, all the power in the world is given to us through the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would just bestow this power as you did John the Baptist to stand against the prevailing spirit of his day. Lord, that you would just anoint them, give them the Holy Spirit, the power they need to make this decision, come what may. Let the consequences fall where they lay, but you are in charge of their lives. We stand against the enemy in bringing his lies into their lives. He will come and he'll say, if you do this, this will happen. He doesn't know, Father. He would nothing but lies. But you have promised good things for your children. And Father, may they trust you. May they trust you with their lives and this decision that they've made. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you love us and that we are your children. Thank you for it. And now, Father, I just ask that you your blessing would be upon our lives as we go. Thank you for this opportunity to come into your presence, to sing praises to your name, and to give you praise and glory. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for the privilege of letting me share God's word with you today. God bless you.